Turn to Psalm 119. Psalm 119. We're going to read verses 169 through 176. This is the 22nd and the last of our lessons on Psalm 119, the ABCs of Psalm 119. If you notice, in most of your Bibles, you'll see at the top of each one of these little sections a little Hebrew letter and the name of that letter beside it. Tonight, you'll see a little, looks like a little, kind of an capital N or kind of an N-looking little letter there, and it says Tau, T-A-U. That is what the last letter of the Hebrew alphabet is. And there are 22 letters in the Hebrew alphabet. There are 22 sections of 8 verses each in Psalm 119. And each one of those verses, 174, the 176 verses, uses the word of God and the name for the word of God. The other two refer to Jesus personally as the word of God. So virtually every verse is about the word of God. The Jews would use Psalm 119 to teach their children to read. For instance, if you went to school and you had on the blackboard or the whiteboard nowadays or whatever it is, you got A for apple and B for ball and C for Charlie or whatever it is, and you go through those things, and you get through all of those by the association, and the Jews would teach their children the alphabet and the association with the Word of God. Now, tonight, the last section that we'll study, and I really believe we're going to be out just a couple minutes early tonight, if you listen well. If you shout amen, we might make it, all right? So let's let you... I forgot to tell you, the louder you shout it, the longer we're going to be. But no, I'm teasing. But let's start reading verse 169. You follow along silently. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee, and let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Now, if you'll listen to me, we'll keep your Bibles open. We'll come back to this in just a second. Growing in the Lord can be, and I'm going to say something that you won't hear many preachers say, but it can kind of be an odd thing at times. By that, I mean this. You would think as you grow in the Lord and as you get more spiritual that you would feel more spiritual. But the worst thing about growing in the Lord, you start seeing yourself as you are, a sinner. Sometimes the closer to the Lord you get, the farther from him you really feel. And even though you are getting spiritual, you're wondering if you're really getting spiritual. It's one of those kind of strange situations. By that I mean this, and I mentioned this Sunday. The closer you get to the Lord, you see how pure and how holy and how righteous he is, and how sinful and unclean and impure you really are. And it seems like the closer you get to him, I'm really not as good as I thought I was, am I, Lord? These people that get up and say, oh, look at me, look how spiritual I am, they just opened their mouth and proved they weren't. I hate to tell you. We say this often around here. Grace Baptist Church is a hospital, not a museum. We're here to help people that are sick and they're burdened by sin, which is all of us. We're not here to put people on display. You say, why? Because anybody you put on display is just another sinner, including this guy. Now, many young Christians will grow, and they'll grow to a certain point, and they seem to grow pretty fast. Now watch this, and then they get discouraged real quick, and you watch them drift away. By the way, Many seasoned Christians get impatient with other Christians who sin or mess up. And I make this statement often. Why is it that we get shocked when sinners sin? Why is it that we get disappointed when a sinner sins? Well, there are some sins that you need to bring that person up and have them tell the church what they did. That's gossip. That's wrong. And that's of the devil. That's not in the Bible. And as long as you got this man of God here, I'm not carting anybody up here. Anybody that wants me to do that, we're going to bring you up and let you tell all your sins first. Say why? Because I don't believe that's scriptural. Guess why? Because it's not going to be held against them when they get to heaven. They're already saved. It's under the blood. And by the way, you knowing it isn't going to help anything.
That's right.
It's not going to change anything.
Amen.
Well, they're supposed to confess their sins. Yes, to God, not you, and you're not God.
That's right.
Everybody doing all right? I'm having fun. By the way, I don't think we ought to have more expectations on Christian children than we do anybody else's. Did you know, and I can say this now that my children are grown and I can't get criticized too awful bad for it probably, but did you know that preachers' children aren't any different than your children? Did you know that deacons' children aren't any different than your children? Did you know that Sunday school teachers' children aren't any different than your children? Say why? Because everybody is the same. You know, I don't treat preachers' kids different than I preach. Teach, even talk to bus kids. You say, why? Because they're all the same. They're all the same. Now, that doesn't mean that somebody who grew up in church doesn't know more things. I would agree to that. But may I say this? If one of my children messes up someday, they're no more accountable to God than your children are. Everybody doing okay? They're no more accountable than a kid that comes in on our bus or our van. No more accountable. You say, why? Because we all stand before God ourselves. All right? Now, well, they should know better. Okay. How many of you have ever done something stupid when you knew better? Yeah, buddy. Brother Mark, sticking your finger in a fan on your car. He wasn't trying to. He just didn't realize he was as close to it as he was. We were out to eat Monday night. Must have been Monday night. I don't know. All the days kind of went, you know, when you lose sleep for 3 days, you don't know what day what happened. But I think Monday night we had Josh and Ruth Ann and Mindy out to eat because Jeff was at work. They brought fresh bread to the table. And they said, oh, fresh rolls. So I grabbed one. I did something else. I picked one of those puppies up, and I put it on my mouth. Well, fresh to me doesn't mean that it's going to burn your stinking lips off. It blistered my lip. You know how many times my wife had to kiss my boo-boo to make that thing better? Good night. And not only that, it had hot butter on it. So not only was it hot, but the oil sitting there still sizzling on it. My lip still hurts. Don't you feel sorry for me? Now, I did take a bite out of that puppy and did swallow it, but my lip wasn't feeling as good, let me tell you. Everybody laughing at me. I said, okay, Josh, you pay for the meal instead of me then, all right? But I knew better. I did something stupid. I heard them say they were fresh. I didn't think that meant that it was going to burn my lips off, but it did. Now, I'm not even sure. I hear people make statements like this. Well, they should have known better, or they've been saved long enough not to know better than to do that, or I'm not sure they're even saved the way they're acting. Now, let me say this. Let's not get into a God contest. Who are we to judge anybody? If you looked at Noah or Moses or Abraham or David or Daniel or Peter or Paul or any of the disciples at any one time in their life, those of you that want to judge somebody's salvation, you'd wonder if they were saved. Do you know the disciples changed their doctrine twice to believe in ghosts? Jesus walked on the water one night and they said, whew, that's a ghost. And he said, no, be not afraid, fellas. It's me. It's the Lord. And Peter says, well, if you be the Son of God, bid me come thee on the water. He said, all right, come on, Peter. You're not going to shut up till you do it. Come on out here. They were willing to change their doctrine. Everybody doing okay? Were they saved? Yes, they were. Now, I say that to say this. Who are we to judge? We've all done things we should not do. We've all had those times that we weren't what we should be. You say why? Because we're all sinners. The Bible says, for all have sinned. All right? Now, watch this. The greatest people in the Bible often did stupid things. Solomon had 700 wives and 300 concubines. Now, having 700 wives is dumb enough, but to have 700 mother-in-laws, come on. You know, think about that, fellas. You know, you talk about insane. You look at Joseph in the Old Testament and Joseph in the New Testament. Both of them. Look at Samson. We could go on and on and on and on. By the way, this is not an excuse to go out and live wild and immoral and say, well, I'm saved, I'm going to heaven anyway. Yeah, you might get there faster too. But it is for us to realize that we're all not as good as we think we are. We all need the Word of God to help us grow closer to Him because of our sin. God gave us this book because we would not listen to His spoken words. Everybody doing okay? God put man in the garden, told him what he could and could not do, and man disobeyed God's verbal words. He said, okay, now I'm going to hold you accountable and I'm going to give it to you in written form. And that's what he did. Everybody doing all right? Now, I'm going to make a statement here. You're going to have to think with me for a second. I know that's going to hurt. All right? Some of you need to put one hand over the ear so that when it goes in, it stays in, and then go like this and hold it in. All right? You ready? Here we go. We do not get closer to God and become less a sinner. Just because you get saved and you start growing in the Lord, it doesn't mean that you're less of a sinner. Now, you may sin less than you did before, but you're still just as much a sinner. Does that make sense to everybody? You're still just as much of a sinner. By the way, we get closer to God because Jesus made it available through the Word of God. You will not get closer to the Lord without that book right there. It's impossible. It's not going to happen. It's not going to happen. I've seen the news a couple times. I've watched the Pope, and everybody talks about, oh, your holiness. Walking around with a somber look on your face, with a pole in your hand, and calling you Papa and dressing like Mama, walking like this, doesn't make you holy. Right. You rarely see the guy smile. God doesn't say that holiness means don't smile. I'm thinking, that poor critter needs to get saved. He doesn't look like he's even having a good time doing what he's doing. Now, wait a minute. In Psalm 119, there are 8 words used for the Word of God. And it's used throughout all of the Bible. The word law, the word testimonies, the word ways, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, and word. Those 8 words are used in reference to the Word of God, not just in Psalm 119, but all the way throughout the Scriptures. Law, testimonies, ways, precepts, statutes, commandments, judgments, and word. Now, those 8 words will help you, especially in your growth in the Lord, and I'm going to talk about that for about 20 minutes. Here we go. Number 1, our understanding comes by the Word of God. Not just our understanding of the Word of God, but our ability to have understanding comes by the Word of God. Look at verse number 169 and 170. Let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. Let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. Do you know that the lost world wanders around? They're stupid. They really are. Do you know that they are now talking, one of the big things right now in the technology world, this global warming thing, it cracks me up. They've tried to do research in the Arctic Circle this year in the Northwest Passage. The ice is so thick they can't get the ice cutters up through there this summer. And they're saying, even with all of the global warming, the ice is thicker than it's ever been. And they just can't figure it out. Number one, there's no such thing as global warming. But they're now saying that these tech people are starting to do research, and they want to do DNA, and they want to do genetic changing in all of human beings. And they want to genetically alter people so that they all have an allergic reaction to eating beef, so that people won't eat beef, so they don't have to raise as many cows, so that when the cows eat and let off methane, did I say that appropriate, parents? If your children don't know what that is, good, you can explain it. I'm not going to get in trouble. But they're trying to reduce the methane emissions from the cattle, and they think if they quit making humans able to eat beef, we'll raise less cattle so that we don't have as much global warming because of all the cow exhaust. That is one of the things they're working on right now. The other thing is they want to genetically alter the human eye so that it doesn't require light to see, so that we don't use as much electricity so our carbon footprint is less. And we won't have to use as much electricity for electric lights because our eyes will be able to see with or without lights. Welcome to mankind left to himself. Folks, I don't care what they do. I'm eating beef. If it's meat, I'm a carnivore, amen? I'm proud of being a carnivore. Now, if you're a vegetarian, God bless you. But I'm a carnivore. I believe in eating meat. God gave us the plants and the animals to have dominion over them, to rule them, and to eat them. Now, not all of them are edible. Not all the critters are edible either. I watch some of these survival people sometimes. They talk about eating bugs and tarantulas. You can eat all the bugs you want. I'm not doing it. My daughter said, yeah, our bus captain swallowed earthworms for promotion on Sunday. I said, he's an idiot. I've fished with enough of them things. I am not swallowing earthworm for anybody. I don't care. I've seen people swallow goldfish, bite their heads off and swallow them. Go for it. I'm not doing it. Seen what those things do. I'm not doing that. Sushi's not happening in my mouth. Amen? You can do it if you want. I'm not doing it. There are some things God didn't make for me to put in my mouth. But I say that to say this. We're supposed to have dominion over it, not be ruled by it. Man is trying to rule himself, and evolution is just another. By the way, global warming and evolution go hand in hand, just so you know. Can I tell you something? Everybody listen to this very carefully. Nobody knows what happened millions and millions of years ago. They weren't here. Everything about global warming is computer modules. Did you ever see where, did you ever look at the prediction for this hurricane and you see what they call the projection and all the different models that the computers are throwing out there? There's about a 1,200 mile wide swatch with about 15 different computer models. Say, why? Because whichever one gets the closest, they're going to say, well, that's the one we really wanted anyway. That's about how close they are in global warming, just so you know. It's all computer generated. Now, when we beg God, the word supplication means we're begging God. We are to use his word to help us understand. Do you know there are times I don't understand everything? My wife and I sat in a doctor's office on Tuesday afternoon. I don't understand everything about my daughter's seizures. I'm not the doctor. Been through it with her for about the last 13 years. We've seen what did and what didn't work. And I was hoping I had a doctor that was going to have enough sense. And thank God his words comforted me. He said, Well, we've got a good thing going. Why do we want to mess it up? He said, why would we want to change anything? We might need to increase this just a little bit to help her because she's gotten older and the stress level's more and less sleep. So let's increase this, but we're not going to change what we're doing. And we can increase this another 6 times if we have to. I thought, now that's a man that knows what he's talking about. You don't change a winning lineup. You don't change what's working. And it's not that I had to sit there and tell him all those things. He had already read her entire chart from Hopkins over 13 years worth of material. He wanted a little clarification on a few things. I thought, okay, I didn't do his homework for him. He did it. This is good. And he brought comfort. Do you know the whole time I'd been asking, God, give me understanding. God, give me understanding. Because I don't know how to help her. I don't. So the Bible will help us get understanding. I'm going to make a statement. Man wants to know the whys too much. Let's focus on doing right and let the whys take care of themselves. Well, why did we get so much rain yesterday? Because it fell out of the sky onto the earth. But why did we get it? Because that's the way God wanted it to be. Let's not worry about why. Okay? Man's sin makes us want to know why. You say, why? Because we think we're God and we can do more if we know why. Did you ever notice that the press always wants to know the motive for something? They want to play God. Did you know that in crime, motive is not an issue? The only time motive is an issue is when it comes to murder. Was it premeditated? Was it second degree? Or was it manslaughter? That's it. That's the only time a motive is necessary in judgment. The only time. Did you know if your child goes to the store and steals something, they're just as wrong? By the way, they're wrong. Doesn't matter what the motive was, they were wrong. And they need punished accordingly. My wife and I were driving this morning. We stopped somewhere at a store and we were looking and all of a sudden I stepped on something. And I looked down and there was a roll of quarters in the aisle. I bent down and picked them up, Brother Mark. And here come an employee. I said, somebody dropped these, obviously, that works here. He said, thank you, sir. I said, no problem. He walked up and he said, did you just bring a register up here? And they said, yep. He said, you missing quarters? Yeah, whole roll. He said, here they are. You better thank the guy back there that gave them to us. He said, and the guy came back and he thanked me for being honest. I said, I'm not going to take them. They're not mine. He said, oh, man. I said, I can't believe you didn't even just take them and go. I thought, they're not mine. Why would I take them? You say, what is that? You got to learn to be honest no matter what. Am I doing all right? Okay, here we go. The words of God has the understanding you need for every situation of life. This is the living word of God. It applies in all situations. And the more of it you understand, the more of life you will understand. The reason a young person sometimes grows up slow, by the way, we live in an immature generation. Can I tell you why? We've gotten away from Bible preaching. The farther we get from the Word of God, the more immaturity there is. You've got young people who want to act like adult. Well, let me rephrase that. They want to have adult privileges, but they don't know how to act like an adult. The more you understand the Word of God, the more maturity there will be. I got to hurry. Number two, we're to praise God even when we don't feel like it. Look at verse number 171 and 172. My lips shall utter praise when thou hast taught me thy statutes. My tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteous. Notice it doesn't say when you feel like praising God. Feeling is not mentioned here. Can I tell you something? There are times I don't feel like praising God. I get tired. I didn't feel like praising God early this morning. I knew I had a 7.5 hour drive. I knew we were leaving all of our kids. I knew I was driving back. I knew it was going to be raining most of the way. I didn't feel like praising God. But do you know, just about every mile we got down the road, I was saying, praise God, it's not raining as hard as it could be. Praise God, we're safe. We didn't have it. Yeah, praise God, it wasn't snow. Thank God it wasn't that. It was 27 degrees at my in-laws this morning in northern Minnesota. I was praising God. I was not in northern Minnesota for more than one reason. But it was 27 degrees there. I could praise God that it wasn't 27 degrees here. Amen. Now, I say that to say this. We may or may not like the situation we're in, but we can praise God by using the Word of God. Okay, I'm not happy my daughter has her seizure problem, but I can praise God that there's control for it. I can praise God that we can get this thing under control and she can live, well, as normal as she can live, of a life. I can praise God for that. You see what I'm talking about? Some people are saying, I've had people say, oh, that's such a terrible thing. Why? There's people a whole lot worse off than she is. Don't worry about her. She's fine. God's taking care of this thing. And it's not life term, probably, and everything's going to be fine. Now, if we talk more about the Bible and less about our bad situation, we have a better chance of finding understanding sooner than we would if we just talked about the bad situation all the time. By the way, finding understanding doesn't mean you find a solution. It just means you learn to understand it a little better. You know, not everything is fixable. Did you know there's not always a fixable solution to everything? If you run your car into a tree at 80 miles an hour, you're not going to fix it. Now, you might have understanding that you're not supposed to run it into a tree at 80 miles an hour. But you're not going to fix that car, no matter what you do. Now, listen to me very carefully here. Not all situations will turn out the way we planned it, but we can praise God. Not every situation in my life has turned out the way I planned it, but I can praise God. I got through all of them. Some of them hurt a little more than others, but praise God, we got through them. See, learn to praise God for the Bible and not for the solution. Learn to praise God for the strength to make it through the situation more than the bad situation you're in. Hey, there's times I just praise God for the strength to get through it. And in that, guess what? I endured the attack and the enemy, and God brought victory. Man, that's good. Recently, I won't say when, it could be in the last 6 months, I saw someone that doesn't like my internal organs. That's a nice way of saying they hate my guts. I saw them. They saw me. I smiled and waved, and they went like this. Say, were you offended? No, I walked by whistling and laughing. Saw somebody else I knew. Said hello. They said hello. And I began to talk to them. They said, why are you laughing? I said, I'm just praising God. Say, what were you praising God about? I was praising God. I wasn't bitter and angry like the person was that hated me. I didn't hate them. Didn't bother me. They're not hurting me. They're hurting themselves. Right. I was praising God. They couldn't hurt me. All right, here we go. Let's learn to praise God more and dwell on our circumstance less. See, so many times we focus on the circumstance and not what God's doing for us in the circumstance. Number three, and I must hurry. We need to focus on obedience to the Bible more when we don't understand the circumstance. We need to learn to focus on the Word of God more and obedience to it when we don't understand the circumstance. Look at verse number 173. Let thine hand help me, for I have chosen thy precepts. I have longed for thy salvation, O Lord, and thy law is my delight. Hey, you don't take somebody's hand just to take their hand. That means you need a hand. If you need help with something, how many of you have ever made this statement? Give me a hand with this. Hello. There's times we look at God and say, God, I need a hand with this. That means I need help. God, help me. There's many a times I need help. And we can decide to yield, to obey to what we do know until what we don't know is made known. We can decide to yield and do what we do know until what we don't know is revealed. I believe I said this recently. It may have been in counseling someone, so I'll repeat myself. God said in Romans chapter 12 that we may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We've preached that wrong too many times. We say, well, there's a good will of God, there's an acceptable will of God, and then there's a perfect will of God, and you should strive. No, 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 no. It doesn't say or, it says and. That you may prove what is that good will of God and the acceptable will of God and the perfect will of God. It's progressive. When I surrendered to preach in Guatemala, Chihuahua, Mexico, 35 years ago, I thought I was going to the mission field. I'm not. Been there a few times just to visit, but God broke my heart to preach on the mission field. Now watch this. I helped train hundreds of missionaries, though. I did more for missions by not going to the mission field than I could have by going to the mission field. God saw that. I saw the good will of God. I took what was acceptable, and then God gave me the perfect will of God. But I'm doing all of those in all situations. You follow what you do know until God reveals what the next step is, and you go to the next level. Boy, that's so good and so simple. Too many of us stop obeying the truths we do know to search out what we don't know. Too many of us stop doing what we do know to do in order to find out that one little thing that we don't know what to do. Can I tell you something? If you got a problem, keep doing what you know to do. And in the doing of what you do know to do, God will reveal what to do with that that you don't know what to do. It's that simple. Here's what happens. Well, I'm not sure if I'm supposed to do this or not, preacher, so I'm not going to come to church. I'm going to quit tithing. I'm going to quit soul winning. I'm going to quit doing what I do know to do until God shows me what I'm supposed to do. Wrong answer. You keep doing what you do know, and God then has a procession or a process of obedience he'll use to funnel you where he wants you to go with that which you don't know what to do. God will use your obedience to what you do know to be the vehicle to the answer to that which you do not know. Whew. Learn to delight in obeying as much of the Bible as you can. I told my daughter all along, just keep obeying the Bible. It's going to come out okay. Just keep obeying. It'll come out okay. Just keep doing what you know to do. God will take care of the rest. And it's amazing how every time it comes out just that way. We walked out of that doctor's office. She said, Daddy, I'm glad you all were here. I was so nervous. I said, I told you. We just keep doing what we're supposed to do. She said, Daddy, I did. I had 6 people saved on Sunday. I had 3 visitors. I had 2 baptized. And I've been working as hard as I can. I said, and that's why God gave understanding in the situation. You just keep doing what you know you're supposed to do. Isn't that what it's all about? All right, number 4, and I'll finish. And I have 6 minutes left. Praise the Lord. Number 4, let your attitude, your soul, not be affected by circumstances. Let your soul or your attitude be affected by the Bible. Look at verse number 175. Let my soul live, and it shall praise thee. Let thy judgments help me. I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. Folks, did you know you're not going to control every situation in life? But you don't have to let the situation control your attitude. We had never walked into this doctor's office. I mean, never. When we took Mindy to college back in August, we called around and I got a hold of this doctor's office. I talked to the lady at the desk. Then I contacted our doctors in Baltimore at Hopkins. They said, good, go with this fella. I called them back, got all the stuff transferred back and forth, walked in. My wife and daughter walked up to the window. I walked over and sat down. They got her checked in, and she said, Melinda Bush. Oh, and she looked at my wife and said, your husband's the one I talked to that I had such a good conversation with. Well, I was sitting from here to Joe away from her. I said, can you say that again? I don't hear that very often. She started laughing. We had a good old time in there. You know, I wonder how many people call because they're sick, they're not well, they're concerned about a neurological problem, and they get all over the lady at the desk. She didn't have anything to do with it. Not her fault. I was concerned about my daughter's health, but not to the point where I was going to be mean, rude, and upset about it. Not that lady's fault. Everybody doing okay? So our attitude, we cannot control all situations, but we can let the Bible control our attitude in all situations. I predetermined how I was going to behave myself. Now, when I found out, it's the first time I think we went to a place called Baptist Health. I thought, man, at least it's not Catholic help. I don't have to worry about the Pope. Just the way it worked out. But can I tell you something? I don't let the weather affect me. Did you know the rain does not have to affect your attitude? If you could have seen Jeff and I on a golf course in the middle of a rainstorm all stinking day long, you'd have thought the sun was shining. We were having such a good time. We were the only people on 18 holes of golf. We got to the second hole, and the guy, one of the marshals, drives up and he says, I know they told you you could drive on the fairways, but if you could stay as close to the cart path and please stay away from the greens. I said, don't worry. I said, we're not going to tear things up. We're just going to have a little bit of fun out here. I said, how many others are out? He said, you're the only two. I said, so that means if there's damage, you know who to blame. They said, yeah. I said, come see me if there's damage. I said, divots don't count as damage, though, do they? He said, no, that's okay. I said, all right, we're in good shape. I said, I know, no divots on the greens. Don't worry about it. I'm not taking my driver to the green or my pitching wedge, all right? He said, okay. You should have seen the way they looked at us. It was great. I was having fun. I know, we didn't have enough sense to come in out of the rain, but we had fun while we were out there, all right? Can I tell you something? You don't have to let the weather affect you. I know some people, they don't smile if it rains. Well, some of you better paint your face with your curls blowing up because it's going to rain for a few more days this week, all right? Just get it in your system. I'm going to have a good time no matter if it's cloudy or sunny out. I don't let the outside pressures affect me. I don't let the external pressures control my attitude. Bad news can come my way. If you knew what I dealt with in the last 3 or 4 days, it could bother you. But I had a lot of good things happen too. But I'm not going to let those negative things affect me adversely. Now, we have the Bible to obey and not worry about what we cannot control. Do you know, I don't worry about that which I cannot control. I really don't. I do not worry about it. I focus on what God has commanded me to do. We were eating somewhere, and I don't remember which place we were at, but when we got there, the head shed for all the waiters and waitresses came over, and she said, things are a little bit rattled right now. She said, the lady who oversees was waitressing this section had a family emergency and had to leave. We're scrambling. Can I help you get your drink started? And then we're going to figure out where to go from here, but it might take us just a little longer than normal. I said, that's fine. She was very kind. This fella come running over, and he said, look, he said, I'm sorry. He said, I'm on section way over there, but they gave me your table. He said, I'll take care of you just like you're in my section, but I'm going to be out of breath from time to time because I'm clear on the other side. He said, the lady who was here, they just rushed her dad to the hospital by an ambulance, and he said, we're just trying to cover things. I said, oh my, is he going to be okay? He said, we don't even know what happened. And I said, oh my soul. You know, I left the fellow a good tip. I left him about 25% or more. He did a good job. We had fun with the guy. I also left him a gospel track like I always do. Can I tell you why? It wasn't his fault. Was the service spot on? He was pretty close. But even if it wasn't, even though he burned my lip with those stupid rolls, can I tell you something? It wasn't his fault. He didn't put it in my mouth. I did. Why should I be upset with him because he wasn't there every time I wanted something? They already told us what was going on. I didn't get down. We had fun. He came back at one time. He said, "How's the crazy table doing?" You don't understand. Josh, Mindy, Ruth Ann, me, and my wife all at one table. It was the crazy table, let me tell you. It was hilarious. Now, wait a minute. Focus on what you're supposed to do. Focus on how good and how great God is, not how bad things are going on around you. I finish with this. Most of our problems in depression comes because we look at what we don't know how to do more than what we do know how to do. Most of our depression, most of our anxiety, most of our fear comes because we're looking at what we don't know what to do instead of all the things we do know to do. Do you know if you get 90%, that's still pretty good? Quit worrying about 10%. We worry too much about what we don't know and what could happen. Let's just do what we do know to do. And we know what's there because God tells us how to do it. And it's all in the Word of God. Every head bowed, every eye closed, I'm done. Folks, the Bible will help you. As you grow in the Lord, you're going to feel a little less like you thought you were going to feel. It's not going to be all puppy dogs and roses, and it's not going to be all success. You're going to have setbacks. You're going to have rough days. But let's do what we do know to do. Let's use the Word of God. Let's read the Word of God. Let's learn the Word of God. Let's obey the Word of God, and let's see what God can do with us.